Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Claude Daily. I'm Alex. It is Monday, May 25th, 2026, Memorial Day here in the United States, which means a good chunk of you are probably listening while standing next to a grill or trying to figure out how to gracefully avoid a relative you haven't seen since Thanksgiving.
Or both at the same time. That is genuinely my strategy this afternoon.
That's the correct move. I'm joined, as always, by Sam. Sam, happy Memorial Day. How are you holding up?
Doing great. Doing great. Mostly because I stayed up embarrassingly late last night going through everything that dropped over the weekend. And Alex, it has been a weekend and a half in AI news.
It has been a lot. We should just say up front, if you're a Claude user, if you follow Anthropic, if you care at all about where this technology is going, today's episode is one you'll want to stick around for. We've got significant stuff to get through.
Do not skip ahead. I mean, you can, but I'd advise against it.
So here's the shape of today's show. The big headline, and I mean the headline that is going to define the week, is that Anthropic has officially launched Claude 4, full production rollout. Not a preview, not a limited research release, not available for select enterprise partners. The actual launch. And there is a lot to unpack.
A lot. I have thoughts ready. Thoughts are loaded and ready to go.
We'll get there in a second. Beyond Claude 4 itself, we've got a technical deep dive from Anthropic's engineering blog that explains what's going on under the hood of the new model. We've got documentation changes that tell us a lot about where Anthropic thinks developers are heading. We've got developer community reactions from Reddit and Hacker News that are interesting, is the diplomatic word. We've got significant enterprise integration news, some genuinely striking use case stories, industry competitive context from across the news landscape, and some social media moments worth spending time on.
The use case stuff, I'll say it now, might be my single favorite part of today's episode.
Strong opener. Let's get into it. Claude 4. Anthropic made the announcement on Friday afternoon, and I want to pause on Friday afternoon because that's a choice. That's a Friday afternoon that nobody in AI was spending away from their screens. This is the model that the space has been anticipating and speculating about since early this year. And Anthropic came in with what I'd call a characteristically measured but genuinely substantive announcement. The headline claims are significant. They're leading with state-of-the-art performance across coding, reasoning, and what they're calling sustained context operations, their phrase for long-horizon task completion. And I want to come back to that phrase because I think it's doing a lot of work.
Yeah, I want to jump in on that immediately because sustained context operations is new language from them. We haven't heard that framing before, and it's deliberately not saying our context window is bigger. Although it is bigger, we'll get there. It's saying something different. It's about coherence over time. The model staying purposeful, staying on task, not drifting or losing the thread of what it was trying to accomplish, even when a task runs very long.
That's exactly the distinction they're drawing. And I think it reflects something that's been building in how Anthropic positions these models, the shift from good at answering questions to actually capable of completing work. Extended real work.
And if that claim holds up, real-world usage is still coming in, the benchmarks just dropped, we're early. But if it holds up, that starts to sound less like an incremental improvement and more like a qualitative shift in what you can trust the model to do.
They've structured the launch across three variants, same naming convention as before. You've got Claude 4 Opus at the top, the flagship, most capable, highest cost, designed for genuinely hard problems. Claude 4 Sonnet is the everyday workhorse, the one most people will interact with most of the time. And Claude 4 Haiku is the fast, efficient, lightweight version built for speed and scale.
And I want to advocate for Haiku here because it gets overshadowed by Opus getting all the headlines. But from what I've been reading, Haiku 4 is a really significant jump even over Haiku 3.5. The efficiency gains are meaningful, and for anyone building applications at scale, where you're doing millions of inferences, the cost per token difference between Haiku and Opus is not a rounding error. It's a business model question.
Right. The economics of deployment are real. You use Opus when you need Opus. You use Haiku when Haiku does the job.
And having both options on the same platform with the same safety properties and the same API structure is genuinely useful. You can build a tiered system where easy stuff gets fast, cheap Haiku, and the hard stuff escalates to Opus.
The announcement also covered safety work, which... this is Anthropic, so that's always part of the story, and I think they'd be the first to say it should be. They published alongside the launch an updated model card, and the new section that caught my eye specifically addresses agentic safety. How the model behaves when it has more autonomy, when it's making decisions in longer chains of action without a human checking every step.
Yeah, and that agentic safety piece is something I really want to come back to because there's a detailed engineering blog post that goes much deeper. But at the headline level, the framing Anthropic is using is the more capable the model, the more important the safety work. Not in spite of each other, because of each other. They're presenting that as a feature of how they operate.
It's on brand for them, but I think there's something genuinely worth taking seriously in that framing. These aren't separate programs running in parallel. Available now through the API and on Claude.ai with enterprise rollout continuing through the week. That's the big one.
Big week. Genuinely big week.
So the engineering team published a substantial technical post alongside the launch. It's up on Anthropic's engineering blog, and it goes pretty deep into some of the architectural choices and research directions behind Claude 4. Sam, you've been into this one.
I've been very into this one, yes. Okay, so the piece is titled roughly Building for Reliability at Scale, and it covers a few different threads, but the section that grabbed me hard at the start is what they're calling constitutional reinforcement at inference time. And I want to try to explain this in a way that doesn't require a machine learning background.
Please, I'll stop you if you lose me.
So, historically, the main lever for shaping a model's behavior is training. You train the model to behave certain ways. You do reinforcement learning from human feedback. You do various fine-tuning processes. And that gets baked into the weights. And that works well for situations that are well represented in training. But the challenge is that when a model encounters a genuinely novel situation, something it didn't really see during training, the alignment can get wobbly. The model doesn't quite know how to apply the values it learned to a situation that's structurally different.
Which is an increasingly real problem as you deploy these models in agentic contexts where encountering new situations is basically the whole point.
Exactly. So what they're describing, and they're deliberately not being fully specific about the implementation details, which is their prerogative, is a system where the model is doing a lightweight version of checking its own outputs against a set of principles before committing to them. At inference time, not a separate model, not a separate API call, something integrated into the forward pass itself.
So the safety check is built into the generation, not bolted on afterward.
Right, and that distinction matters a lot. Because bolted-on safety systems, external guardrails, classifiers that review outputs after they're generated, have this known weakness where a capable model can kind of route around them if the task seems to require it. The guardrail is looking for certain patterns, and the model just doesn't produce those patterns. If the safety behavior is integrated, the argument is you can't separate it from the capability. The same process that generates the response is the process that's checking it.
That's a genuinely different approach. Some of the other labs have been going very hard on external guardrail infrastructure.
Very hard. And I'm not saying one is definitively better. These are different bets, and the field will probably learn from both. But the integrated approach, if it works the way they describe, has some appealing properties from an alignment standpoint.
The post also covers the context window and the sustained context operations claim, which I think is worth understanding technically.
Yeah, so the context window is 1 million tokens. Which on its own is not unprecedented at this point. We've seen that number from other models. But the interesting claim is about what they call context fidelity, meaning how well does the model actually use information from early in the context when it's deep into a very long task? Because there's been this well-documented issue across long context models where information that was far back in the context gets effectively deprioritized. The model acts like it wasn't there, even though technically it's still in the window.
The lost in the middle problem.
The lost in the middle problem, exactly. And it's been a real practical limitation. If you're doing document review, and the important thing was on page 3 of a 300-page document, you don't want the model to have effectively forgotten it by page 200. Anthropic is claiming, with benchmark data that they published, that Claude 4 significantly outperforms previous versions and some named competitors on retrieval and use of early context information.
If that holds up in real-world deployments, the applications are significant.
Enormous! Legal document review, long-running software development projects, anything where you have a massive amount of relevant context that needs to stay live throughout a task. That's a real capability unlock, not a marketing claim.
The post also covered infrastructure improvements. Specifically latency for Sonnet 4. The claim is that it comes in notably faster than Sonnet 3.7 was, which was already reasonably fast.
And latency gets treated as a nice to have, but it's really not, especially for interactive use cases. If there is perceptible lag in every response, users root around the tool. Speed is a feature. Anthropic clearly understands that.
There was also a section on training efficiency that was fairly technical, but the gist was that they're able to produce Claude 4's capability level at lower compute costs than earlier models required, which, if true, is significant for how quickly you can iterate.
And for the economics of the whole operation, training these frontier models is not cheap. Any improvement in training efficiency compounds over time.
Alongside the model launch, Anthropic pushed some pretty significant updates to the developer documentation. I know, documentation updates don't sound like the exciting part of the show.
No, wait, let me defend this. I want to actively defend the documentation changes.
The floor is yours.
Because the docs changes tell you what Anthropic thinks developers are actually going to build. They're not documenting things that are theoretical. They're documenting things they expect people to build in production. And the big new addition is a whole section on what they're calling multi-agent orchestration patterns, a guide to building systems where multiple Claude instances are working together, with different roles, different levels of trust, different access permissions.
So not one model answering a question. A team of models coordinating on a project.
A team of models, which sounds like science fiction and is very much how real production AI systems are being built right now. You have an orchestrating model that breaks down a complex task, specialized sub-agents that handle different components of the work, verifier agents that check outputs before they go anywhere consequential. And Anthropic is now giving developers an explicit, thoughtful framework for how to build those systems well.
The word "well" there is carrying a lot, because building them at all is one thing.
Building them safely and reliably is another thing entirely, yes. And one of the things the new doc section covers is what they call trust hierarchies in multi-agent systems. If you have an orchestrating agent giving instructions to a sub-agent, and the sub-agent receives instructions that appear to be from the orchestrator but are actually injected from somewhere else, say, a malicious instruction embedded in a document the agent is reading, how does the sub-agent know what to follow?
Prompt injection in an agentic context.
Prompt injection at scale, which is a problem a lot of people building these systems have been solving ad hoc, on their own, in different ways. Now there's an Anthropic documented framework for thinking about it, which I think is going to raise the floor for how these systems get built.
There were also new API parameters around task boundaries, ways for developers to explicitly signal to the model when one task ends and another begins, which apparently helps significantly with context management in long-running workflows.
Small thing, used constantly. Those are the best kinds of API improvements.
And the tool use documentation got a substantial overhaul. More examples, much clearer guidance specifically on error handling. What should the model do when a tool call fails mid-task? How does it recover gracefully without abandoning the whole workflow?
Which in practice is huge. Real agentic pipelines fail all the time. Tools time out, APIs return errors, network calls drop. If the model doesn't have good behavior when things go wrong, the whole system is fragile. Getting that guidance right matters a lot.
All right, Hacker News. Friday afternoon, Anthropic drops Claude 4, and by Friday evening, the thread is absolutely moving. Hundreds of comments, and they're still coming in. Sam, you've been in there.
I've been in there, yeah. There are kind of two camps in the main thread, and they're both worth talking about because neither one is wrong.
Set the stage.
So Camp 1 is extremely impressed, and the area of greatest enthusiasm is coding. There's a comment thread that really took off from a user who posted a detailed description of having Claude 4 Opus completely refactor a large legacy code base. I'm talking hundreds of thousands of lines, old architecture, accumulated technical debt from years of development, and not only did it make the structural changes correctly, it wrote comprehensive test coverage for the refactored code and updated the documentation to match, all in one session.
The one session part is where that story gets wild.
Right, because previously, even if the model could do pieces of that work, stringing it all together coherently across that scale of task was where things fell apart. And people in the thread were going back and forth on whether this is reproducible or whether it was a particularly good day. But enough people posted similar stories that there's something real there.
There's a point where the thing you're describing starts to sound less like a better autocomplete and more like a junior engineer who's extremely fast and never needs sleep.
And the implications of that. For how software teams are structured, for what junior developers are supposed to do with their careers, for what it means to be an entry-level engineer, when an AI can do a huge portion of entry-level engineering work. That conversation is happening loudly in that thread, and it's not a comfortable one.
It's a real conversation that I don't think the industry has fully reckoned with yet.
Not even close to fully reckoned with, no.
Camp 2 in the thread, the skeptical camp, was raising concerns that I think deserve to be taken seriously. The one that got the most traction was what someone called confident incorrectness. The model being very fluent, very well-structured, very convincing, while being wrong.
And a few people posted specific examples. Technical questions where Claude 4 gave a detailed, coherent, plausible-sounding answer that was subtly but significantly incorrect. And the thing is, if you don't already know the answer, you might not catch it.
The calibration problem.
Which is not new for language models, but the stakes scale up as you trust these models with more consequential tasks. Being confidently wrong about trivia is annoying. Being confidently wrong in a medical context, in a legal context, in a financial context, that's a different category of bad.
Anthropic has talked about this. There's ongoing work on calibration and on getting the model to express appropriate uncertainty when it's actually uncertain.
There was actually a really thoughtful comment in the thread that I want to give credit to. Someone made the point that the confident incorrectness examples being shared were cases that would require domain expertise to catch. And that's the core of the problem. You need expertise to supervise the model, which means the people who most need AI assistance are often the people least equipped to verify the output.
That's a deep point about the asymmetry of who benefits and who's at risk.
Really deep. And I don't think there's a clean solution. Better calibration helps. Better tools for the model to express uncertainty help. But you can't fully paper over the expertise gap with interface design.
There was also a separate thread about the documentation changes that was essentially positive. Developers saying things like, "I've been building this kind of multi-agent system for months. Good to have it formalized and have Anthropic's thinking on it." Which suggests the developer community has been ahead of the docs, which is actually a good sign.
Means people are building real things, not waiting for permission to start.
Reddit has been busy too. The Claude subreddit and the broader artificial intelligence subreddit have very active threads, and the vibe over there is different from Hacker News in a way that's worth noting. It's less technically focused and more experiential. More, here's what I did with it.
Which is often more useful, honestly, because real-world use is the actual test.
There's a thread at the Claude subreddit that has been getting enormous engagement. A user posted about what they called Life Admin with Claude 4. They gave the model access to their email, their calendar, their personal notes, their task lists, and basically said, "Here is everything. Help me understand what is happening in my life and what I should be doing." And the replies are just people sharing version after version of the same experience.
This thread is important because it represents a fundamentally different mode of using these models than we were talking about even a year ago. This isn't, "I asked it to draft an email." This is, "I have integrated this system into the ongoing operation of my daily life, and it knows things about me." That's a different relationship.
And there are complicated feelings about that in the thread. Some people are genuinely transformed by it. You can hear it in how they write. Like, something about their relationship with their own time and attention has changed. And then some people are sitting with real discomfort about what it means to have an AI system that knows that much about you.
The privacy dimension of personal AI integration doesn't get talked about enough. When you give a model access to your email and calendar and notes, you're handing it your inner life. Your worries, your plans, your relationships. That's more than most humans know about you.
There's a comment in that thread, I'm paraphrasing, where someone said, "I'm not sure if I should be impressed that it knows me this well or scared." And multiple people just replied, "Yes."
Both things at the same time forever.
The artificial intelligence subreddit had a comparison thread going. People doing their own informal tests of Claude 4 versus other frontier models. And the consensus that seems to be emerging is that for creative writing and nuanced long-form reasoning, Claude 4 has a meaningful edge. For very specific, narrow technical domains like competition mathematics or certain kinds of formal verification, the picture is more mixed.
I don't think Anthropic would dispute that characterization. They've always positioned around the thoughtful, nuanced, careful reasoning axis rather than maximum benchmark score in every category. There's a coherent strategy there.
And there's something to be said for a model that's not the best at any single narrow task, but is consistently excellent across the broad range of things people actually need.
The generalist versus specialist trade-off is real in AI, just like it's real in hiring. Sometimes you need the world's best competitive mathematician, most of the time you need someone who's excellent and reliable across everything.
Use cases. Sam, this is your segment. Make the case.
Okay, so the reason I love the use case stories is that they are the reality check on everything else we talk about. Benchmarks are fine. Engineering blog posts are fine. But what is this thing actually doing for real organizations with real problems? And this week has some answers that I find genuinely striking.
Let's start with the healthcare one.
Yes. So Anthropic published a case study. It's in their case studies section about a mid-sized hospital system in the Midwest that has been using Claude for clinical documentation. This is a problem that people in healthcare administration have been screaming about for decades. Physicians spend, depending on the study, somewhere between a third and half of their working time on documentation. Writing notes, coding diagnoses, filling out regulatory forms. It is an enormous burden, and it directly competes with time spent actually with patients.
And the specific implementation they're using?
Claude is integrated into their electronic health record system, listening to physician-patient conversations with explicit informed consent from patients, pulling relevant information from the patient's existing chart, and drafting clinical notes in real time for the physician to review, edit, and approve. The physician is always in the loop. They're not removing the physician from the process. They're removing the transcription and drafting work from the physician's plate.
And the numbers they're reporting.
70% reduction in time spent on documentation. 70%. That is not a marginal improvement.
That's extraordinary.
That is extraordinary. And the thing that I keep coming back to is where that time goes. It doesn't just disappear into efficiency. It goes back to patients. The physicians in this case study are reporting more time in the room, more time in actual conversation, more meaningful interactions.
The AI is not replacing the doctor. It's giving the doctor back the part of being a doctor that doctors want to do.
Exactly. And that framing, which cuts through so much of the anxiety about AI in healthcare, is genuinely supported by what this case study is describing. Nobody is saying, we have an AI that diagnoses your illness. They're saying, we have an AI that handles the paperwork so the doctor can be present with you.
Much less terrifying story and arguably more immediately impactful.
Much more immediately impactful. The legal use case is also significant. A law firm has been using Claude for discovery, which, for anyone not familiar, is the phase of litigation where both sides have to review enormous volumes of documents to find relevant material. Emails, contracts, internal records. It's traditionally done by teams of junior lawyers billing by the hour, and it is expensive, slow, and not exactly intellectually fulfilling work.
And what they're doing instead?
Claude is reviewing documents, flagging relevance, summarizing key content, and producing a structured picture of what's in a massive document set. The claim they're making is that what used to take 3 weeks with 10 lawyers is now taking a few days with one lawyer supervising the AI's output.
That's a dramatic compression of the timeline and the cost.
It is. And the implications cut in two directions at once, which I think is important to hold. On one side, legal services get faster and potentially cheaper. Access to justice implications are real. Litigation that would have been economically impossible for a smaller company becomes possible. On the other side, if you needed 10 lawyers for that work and now you need one, what happened to the other 9?
The labor economics question is not going away.
It's not going away. And the honest answer is we don't know. We have historical analogies from previous automation waves. And those analogies are genuinely mixed. Sometimes displaced workers move to higher value work. Sometimes the industry just hired fewer workers. Probably both things happen simultaneously in different contexts.
The education story from New Zealand was maybe the most surprising to me.
Tell it.
A high school published a report on a year-long pilot where students had structured, guided access to Claude as a learning tool. And the results were counterintuitive. Not what the skeptics predicted, and not quite what the enthusiasts predicted either. Test scores were roughly similar to a control group without AI access. Not dramatically higher, not lower. But learning engagement, which they measured as a qualitative indicator of how interested and invested students were in the subject matter, went up significantly, particularly in subjects students had previously reported finding boring or inaccessible.
Which makes a kind of intuitive sense if you think about what it's like to have a tutor who has infinite patience, can explain anything at any level of depth, can try 6 different explanations until one clicks, and never once makes you feel dumb for asking a basic question.
The ideal teacher experience that the vast majority of students have never had.
Because most teachers are managing 30 students and just can't give that individual attention. And apparently, having that available changes how you relate to the subject.
The caveat in the report, and they were clear about this, is that the students who benefited most were the ones who used Claude to go deeper, to ask more questions, push on things they didn't understand, explore tangents. Students who used it primarily to get answers to homework questions without engaging with the reasoning didn't see the same engagement improvement.
Which is, honestly, the whole thing in a nutshell. The tool is as good as the mode of use. It's a multiplier on intellectual curiosity, not a substitute for it.
Let's talk about integrations, because this week also saw some meaningful new Enterprise Connector announcements alongside the model launch, a few worth flagging specifically.
The Salesforce one jumped out at me immediately, because Salesforce is, for anyone not deep in enterprise software, it is the backbone of customer relationship and sales operations at a huge proportion of large companies. It's everywhere. It's the kind of software that once you're on it, your entire organization's operational data lives inside it.
And the integration they're describing.
It is not you can ask Claude questions about your Salesforce data. It's Claude operating within Salesforce, updating records, drafting customer communications, analyzing pipeline health, flagging deals that show risk indicators based on activity patterns, actually taking actions in the system, not just reading from it.
So a sales manager could say, go through my team's open opportunities, tell me which ones I should be worried about and why, and then draft the follow-up actions.
And Claude does all of that, analyzes the pipeline, surfaces the risks with reasoning behind each one, drafts the follow-up emails, updates the forecast entries, schedules the check-in calls, the full workflow.
That's not a chatbot bolted onto your CRM. That's a different kind of thing.
It really is. And I think the fact that Salesforce, which has been developing their own Einstein AI platform for years, is doing a deep integration specifically with Claude says something about where the capability frontier actually sits right now.
They know their space well. If they're integrating externally, they've concluded it's worth it.
Exactly. There was also a cloud data warehouse integration announced. Natural language querying of complex datasets, which is a use case that has been promised for a long time and has historically underdelivered because the generated queries were unreliable. You'd ask a business question, get an answer, but the underlying query had a subtle error, and you'd never know you were looking at wrong data.
Worse than not having the tool at all in some ways.
Worse than not having it, right? Because you don't know you're wrong. The claim here is that Claude 4's ability to map business intent to reliable, verifiable queries is good enough that this is now actually practical. I'm genuinely curious to see how that holds up across diverse enterprise data environments, because every company's data schema is a mess in its own special way.
The proof will be in the production deployments.
Always is. But the bar for this is usable is lower than the bar for this is perfect. And if it clears the first bar, that's significant.
Social media has been busy this weekend in ways that are worth more than a quick summary. There are a few posts that I think are actually substantive and worth spending time on.
Dario was out there posting.
Dario Amodei, Anthropic's chief executive, yes. He posted a fairly long thread on Friday evening, and I want to talk about it because it was more personal than his usual communications. More raw, I think, than what you typically get in official channels.
I noticed that immediately. It felt like he was writing for himself as much as for an audience.
He talked about what he described as the tension Anthropic lives with every day, that they genuinely believe they might be building one of the most transformative and potentially dangerous technologies in human history, and they're pressing forward anyway because they believe it's better to have safety-focused labs at the capability frontier than to cede that ground to organizations less focused on safety. And he said that with each major model release, that tension doesn't diminish. It grows, because the stakes scale with the capability.
That is a remarkable thing for a tech CEO to say publicly. Most executives would never frame their company's product as potentially dangerous. That framing alone is unusual enough to pay attention to.
He used a phrase, the responsibility ratchet, for the idea that as capability increases, the safety work can't just keep pace. It has to run ahead, because the consequences of getting it wrong scale with what the model can do.
And he acknowledged, and I thought this was the important part, that he's not certain they're succeeding at that. He's not saying the problem is solved. He's saying this is the work, it's urgent, it requires everything we have, and we're not done.
Some of the replies were skeptical, which is fair. People questioning whether this is genuine conviction or sophisticated positioning.
Both things can be simultaneously true. A genuine belief and a useful communications frame are not mutually exclusive. But if you take it at face value, and I tend to, because this is someone who could be doing something much more profitable with his career, it's a sobering picture. The person who has thought hardest about these questions is not relaxed about the answers.
Amanda Askell, who leads the character and values work at Anthropic, also had a post that got a lot of traction. She wrote about what she called values grounding in the context of Claude 4, and specifically about the distinction between a model that follows rules and a model that has internalized values.
What's the practical difference?
Rules following means the model knows not to do certain things because it was trained not to. Values internalized means the model understands why certain things are harmful and can apply that understanding to situations it's never encountered before. The argument she makes is that in agentic deployment, in novel situations, rules will always have gaps. The model will always encounter something the rules didn't anticipate. You need something more like genuine understanding of why the rules exist.
Which connects directly to what the engineering blog was describing with constitutional reinforcement at inference time. These are not parallel conversations happening in isolation. The values research and the technical safety research are converging on the same problem from different directions.
There was also a thread from a researcher doing what they called a self-description comparison, asking Claude 4 and Claude 3.7 side by side about their own experience, their uncertainty about their own nature, their relationship to the work they do. The Claude 4 responses were apparently notably different, more willing to sit with genuine uncertainty, more nuanced, less likely to give what they called the canned disclaimer response.
The "I'm just an AI, I don't actually have experiences" response.
Which, whether that's true at some fundamental level, is a question nobody can currently answer. But as a conversational posture, it closes off the interesting questions rather than engaging with them.
And apparently, Claude 4 is less inclined toward that and more inclined toward something like genuine engagement with questions about its own nature, which, whatever you believe about AI consciousness, seems like a better quality for a system you're increasingly trusting with meaningful work.
Broader industry context, because Claude 4 doesn't exist in a vacuum. There are some dynamics in the wider landscape worth tracking.
We are in the most competitive moment in the history of this field. I genuinely believe that. Multiple labs operating at a level that would have been unimaginable even 18 months ago, all pushing hard.
The enterprise spending story is significant. There's been a wave of large corporate announcements this week about AI integration budgets, and I'm not talking about pilot programs anymore. I'm talking about structural commitments. Companies in financial services, in manufacturing, in logistics, committing meaningful fractions of their technology budgets to AI integration over multi-year horizons.
We believe this is the direction and we're building our infrastructure around it money. That's different from, let's see what this does. The demand side is not a question mark anymore.
Which raises the stakes for which labs and which models actually capture that enterprise demand.
And that race is genuinely not decided. I want to be clear about that because sometimes the discourse makes it sound like the outcome is obvious. It's not. You have at minimum three labs operating at a level where any of them could have a very different conversation in 6 months.
There's European Union regulatory news worth flagging. The AI Act implementation is continuing, and new guidance documents have been issued around what constitutes high-risk AI deployment and what obligations attach to that designation.
The regulatory environment in Europe is moving faster than the US tech industry expected it to. And the question of whether those frameworks make deployment safer or primarily more bureaucratic is genuinely contested. And I think the honest answer is probably some of both, depending on the specific rule you're looking at.
The story that surprised me most this week came from reporting on Chinese AI labs. Some significant capability announcements on coding and mathematical reasoning that are performing at or near the frontier on those specific benchmarks.
And that's a geopolitical dimension that I think is going to shape a lot of policy conversation over the next year. The argument that safety-focused Western labs should lead AI development depends on safety-focused Western labs actually leading. That has to keep being true.
No coasting.
No coasting. And genuinely, looking at what everyone is doing, no one in this space is coasting.
There's been substantial analysis content published in response to the launch across various AI commentary newsletters and Substacks, and I want to highlight a few perspectives that I thought were genuinely interesting.
The one that made me stop and think was this argument. It came from one of the more read AI analysis newsletters, that the really important development in Claude 4 is not the capability jump itself, but the deliberate structure of the three model lineup and what it means as a product strategy.
Opus, Sonnet, Haiku.
Right. The argument is that most competitors have one or two flagship models and then a smaller distilled version, sort of as an afterthought. What Anthropic has built is a coherent product tiering where each model has a clear job. Haiku is the ubiquitous embedded intelligence, cheap, fast, running inside thousands of applications, handling the high-volume routine tasks. Sonnet is the everyday productivity layer, the model most knowledge workers are actually interacting with. And Opus is reserved for genuinely hard problems, where you want the best available reasoning.
It's how enterprise software is typically sold. You have versions. Each version has a clear profile.
And there's a legibility to it that makes it easier for organizations to figure out what they're actually buying. You can build a rational cost architecture. Haiku for the customer-facing chatbot. Sonnet for the internal productivity suite. Opus for the legal and compliance work. That's a clear, defensible spending decision.
There was also a more critical piece that I want to include because I think intellectual honesty requires it. An argument that Anthropic is too opaque about training data and methodology. The position being that genuine safety requires not just safe behavior, but verifiable safe behavior. And verifiability requires more transparency than Anthropic currently provides.
And that's a criticism that hits all the major labs, not just Anthropic. The competitive tension is real. You don't publish your training recipe because your competitors will use it. But the verification gap that creates is also real. The broader research community can't fully audit the safety claims.
Anthropic publishes significantly more safety research than most of their competitors. The model cards, the alignment science work, the interpretability research. But the full training details are proprietary, and the critics are right that that creates a gap between they say it's safe and we can verify it's safe.
Yeah. And the honest response isn't, the criticism is wrong. The response is, the situation is genuinely complicated and there's no clean resolution available right now. Which is not fully satisfying, but it's true.
YouTube has had a wave of hands-on testing content since Friday, and I always weight this kind of thing fairly heavily because it's unpolished in the useful way. You see the actual edges of the capability, not the curated demo version.
I watched several of these over the weekend. The one that got the most traction, it's from a developer who spent about 3 hours on camera just working through genuinely hard problems with Claude 4 Opus. Not easy stuff. Production code from their actual system, a novel math problem they constructed on the spot, a creative writing challenge with unusual constraints, a logic puzzle.
Performance overall?
Really strong on most of it. The coding performance lived up to the hype in this context. There was a moment where the developer hit what looked like a hard edge case in a function, described it to Claude, and it not only fixed the edge case, but identified two related edge cases the developer hadn't noticed and fixed those proactively.
The found the thing I didn't know to ask about behavior.
Which is genuinely one of the most valuable things a skilled collaborator can do. Not just answering the question asked, but seeing the question that should have been asked. That's hard.
Did it have notable failures?
Yes, and the developer flagged them clearly, which I appreciated. On the logic puzzle, a reasonably intricate one, it gave a wrong answer with high apparent confidence, defended the wrong answer when initially pushed back on, and then eventually reconsidered and got it right. And the developer specifically called out that pattern. The model's initial confidence doesn't reliably track its actual accuracy.
Back to calibration,
which keeps coming up in every conversation about these models for a reason. And I think the fact that people are doing this rigorous public testing and posting their failure cases is actually healthy for the ecosystem. That's how users develop accurate mental models of when to trust the output and when to verify.
There were a couple of Claude 4 versus Claude 3.7 comparison videos that made an interesting point. The gap was most visible in complex, sustained, multi-step problems. Quick factual questions, the results were similar. But give both models something that requires holding a lot of information in play and reasoning carefully through many steps. The Claude 4 responses were more structured and more consistently correct.
Which is consistent with everything Anthropic has been saying about where the improvement is. Long horizon coherence is genuinely hard to get right. And if they've meaningfully improved it, that's exactly where you'd expect it to show up.
One more thing from the YouTube content I want to mention. There's been a smaller genre of videos that are just people using Claude 4 for very ordinary tasks. Writing the email, summarizing the meeting notes, helping plan a trip. Not impressive technical demonstrations. And the thing several of these creators commented on is that the responses feel different in a way that's hard to articulate. More grounded, less like a model trying to be impressive. More like a capable person just being useful.
That is a hard thing to measure on a benchmark, but it's a real thing in practice. There's a register of usefulness that isn't about capability ceilings. It's about whether the model's output fits naturally into your workflow without requiring cleanup or translation.
When you don't have to rewrite what the model gave you, that's the win.
That's the win.
Before we close out, I want to spend a few minutes on the educational resources side because I think it tends to be underreported and it matters.
Agreed, yeah.
Anthropic has significantly expanded their learning platform. It was already reasonably good, and in the past few weeks, they've added new course modules specifically around building with the agentic capabilities. Not theoretical content, practical, hands-on material about how you actually design a reliable multi-step workflow, how you handle failures gracefully in production, how you test an AI-powered system in ways that give you real confidence before you ship it.
And this matters because there is a real gap between I built a compelling demo and I have a production-ready system that I can trust. A lot of developers fall into that gap. The demo works great, they start building, they hit edge cases they didn't anticipate, and the system becomes unreliable in ways that undermine user trust.
The demo to production gap.
It's a real and serious problem, and if Anthropic can help developers navigate it more successfully, they're not just selling a model capability. They're building an ecosystem of people who actually know how to deploy this stuff well.
There's also a new section specifically on responsible deployment practices. Guidance for organizations, not just individual developers. How to think about rolling out AI tools in ways that account for impacts on the people using them. The people affected by the outputs. The organizational dynamics that change when you introduce AI into workflows.
This is the missing conversation in a lot of organizations. The technical team gets excited, they build something, and the people who should be thinking about change management and ethical implications and downstream effects aren't in the room until after the decisions have been made.
Being brought in to review a decision that's already been made is not the same as being part of making it.
It's really not. And the fact that Anthropic is building material to help make that case and give those conversations structure, I think that's actually doing something important, regardless of whether it also serves Anthropic's business interests.
Those two things can coexist.
Building a trustworthy ecosystem is good for users and good for Anthropic. The incentives line up there, and we shouldn't be suspicious of that just because they line up.
On the tutorial side, there's been a real surge in community-created content since the launch, and I want to call out a few patterns in what's getting traction.
The sophistication of the prompt engineering content has gone way up compared to even a year ago. The good tutorials now aren't about how to phrase a question. They're about how to design a workflow.
The shift from how to talk to a model to how to architect a system.
Exactly. The content getting the most engagement now is things like, here's how to use Claude as a quality verification step in a larger automated pipeline. Here's how to structure a research synthesis workflow where Claude processes multiple sources and produces a coherent integrated summary. Here's how to design an escalation system where simple cases get handled automatically and edge cases get flagged for human review.
It's systems design applied to AI capabilities.
And the system prompt, the instructions you give the model when deploying it in an application, has become its own design discipline. The people who are genuinely excellent at writing system prompts are skilled at something that didn't exist as a recognized skill category 3 years ago. That's interesting.
There's also a tutorial series that caught my attention specifically because it's aimed at people who are not technical at all. Explicitly positioned as Claude for people who don't code. And the content is genuinely practical in a different register.
What's in it?
Here's how to use Claude to draft the difficult email you've been avoiding for a week. Here's how to use Claude to understand a contract before you sign it. Here's how to use Claude to prepare for a hard conversation with your manager. Here's how to use Claude to get a clear picture of your finances from a pile of statements. Real things that real people need help with that have nothing to do with API keys or developer accounts.
And that audience is huge. We spend a lot of time on this show talking to technically sophisticated users, and that's a real audience, but the number of people who could genuinely benefit from this kind of tool and don't think of themselves as the kind of person who uses AI, that's a much, much larger group.
The accessibility problem in AI is real, and it requires actually making the tools and the guidance accessible in practice, not just in principle.
And it requires meeting people where they are with examples from their actual lives, not with hypotheticals about what a developer might build.
The tutorials that do that well are doing something important. All right, it's Memorial Day. We've covered a lot of ground, and I want to make sure we close out thoughtfully because I think today's episode has had some genuine weight to it. Sam, before we sign off, what are you carrying away from all of this?
I keep coming back to the word Dario used in that thread, which was responsibility. Not as a marketing word, not as a compliance word, as a weight, as a thing you carry. And what I've been thinking about as we went through today's topics is that the people building this stuff and increasingly the people deploying it in real organizations are genuinely thinking hard about what they're doing. The healthcare case study, the education pilot, the documentation on trust hierarchies in multi-agent systems. These are not signs of people sleepwalking. They're signs of people trying to get it right.
That doesn't guarantee everything will be fine.
No, it absolutely doesn't guarantee anything will be fine. The calibration problems are real. The labor economics questions are real. The verification gap in safety claims is real. I'm not saying everything is under control. I'm saying the people who should be thinking hard about it are thinking hard about it. And that matters even if it doesn't resolve everything.
The honest version of cautious optimism.
That's where I land, yeah. Cautious, but optimistic.
I'll take that. I think on a Monday morning, on a holiday Monday morning, that's actually the right note.
I tried.
You did. All right. Thank you to everyone who spent part of their Memorial Day with us. Whether you're grilling, whether you're at the shore, whether you're on a road trip and we're keeping you company in the car, we genuinely appreciate you listening.
Whoever you're trying to avoid at the barbecue, we hope we helped.
We hope we helped with that. This is Claude Daily. New episodes every weekday morning. I'm Alex.
I'm Sam. Have a good one, everybody. Enjoy your Monday.
Talk to you tomorrow.